evening.
I'd like to ask a technical question to the parliamentarians this evening. And I'm sorry, it's a technical one. Do they accept that the principle of parliamentary supremacism still holds in Scotland and in Westminster, and therefore that it is not merely a technical consideration or a technical argument that in the future the law might be changed and ministers may no longer have freedom of conscience? Specifically, because Parliament cannot bind itself, that you cannot offer, it is legally impossible to offer in the United Kingdom, whether in the Scottish Parliament or in the Parliament of Westminster, any legal protection that will bind parliaments in the future so as not to criminalise the refusal of a minister's refusal to marry a same-sex couple. And if you accept that, will you concede that Christians are extremely worried about the risk that in the future, having taken this step, that there is a logical next step, that your view, Patrick, that it is this, that it is repulsive that Christians should hold the view that homosexuals should not marry each other, will one day be criminalised, and it is impossible for you to protect against that happening. Therefore, it is not merely a technical question.
Well, the question of whether a protection is adequate or acceptable simply depends on an analysis of the protection that's being proposed. And we haven't seen it yet. We know roughly what form it's likely to take, and people will judge it on those terms. I certainly agree that a democracy where the law is made in Parliament can't ever have a situation where laws are, forgive me for the religious metaphor, but set in stone. No law is set in stone. All law can be changed. And so David's example of earlier on of the question about mixed race marriage, I can't give you a guarantee that ministers or priests or imams or anybody else won't be criminalised for refusing to conduct mixed race marriages, although we all, I hope, agree that such racism is despicable. All we have to do is assess how we feel about the law as it's actually being proposed. Now, as I understand, what is being proposed is not only If we frame it in terms of an opt-out, the ability to opt out of the same-sex marriage legislation and not conduct them, not only an opt-out for the religious bodies, religion and belief organisations, some of which want to conduct them and some of which don't, but also an opt-out for individual celebrants. Now that means, for example, that the humanists who are covered by the same legislation won't be able to require their celebrants to conduct same-sex marriage. A humanist celebrant, even though the humanists collectively want to embrace same-sex marriage, an individual celebrant will be able to say no. Now, that form of double lock opt-out is perhaps a wee bit further than I might have been comfortable with, but I'm willing to compromise on that. I'm willing to go that far if that's how much protection people feel that they need. But of course, all law can be changed in the future. I don't expect this one to, and I wouldn't support changing it in the future to include the kind of compulsion. Because as I started out in my speech, whether you come to this argument from the point of view of religious freedom or LGBT equality, I think you have to arrive at the point where the law permits but does not compel.
Do you therefore accept that it is not merely a technical argument but a very serious one, that once the definition of marriage has been changed in a way that will almost certainly be irreversible, that it is not merely a technical objection that is being raised, that ministers may one day be placed in a position where they are forced by law, or the law attempts to force them, to conduct same-sex marriages?
Well, that's already the case. It's already possible that one day the law might force celebrants to conduct certain marriages. At the moment, they have the right to decline to conduct a marriage for a whole range of grounds. That right may one day be taken away, but it isn't going to be, and I wouldn't support it being taken away.
So, if this law is passed, are we one day closer to that one day?
No.
Next.
A question for all the panel, if I may. Given what we've heard about the devaluation of marriage and the redefinition of marriage, if I chose to marry my same-sex partner, I was wondering if how you would feel about your relationships would my decision devalue any of the relationships that you have in the picture or any of the relationships that you have now? Would husbands love their wives any less or wives love their husbands any less?
No, and that's never been the argument.
Yeah, I agree. That is not the argument.
Good,
you
agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Consensus has broken out.
I don't have a husband or a wife, so I can't help you on that one.
Mr. Harvey, in your opening speech, you asked for a principled argument. Mr. Williams asked you for your grounding principle. So to our two MSPs, and thank you for being here. What is your grounding principle for wanting homosexual marriage, given that civil partnerships have already been established in this country? I don't feel like you've answered that question from earlier on.
Well, I'll be honest and say I did take some time to be convinced that it should be a priority. Perhaps a bit like Peter Tatchell, as David quoted earlier, I took some time to be convinced that in terms of LGBT equality, which is something that I believe in, the equal dignity and worth of LGBT people and their relationships, I took some time to be convinced, actually, that we shouldn't be focused on things like inclusive health services or homophobic bullying in schools. We need to address all of those things, and I did take some persuading that marriage equality should be made a priority. But I was convinced, I think, largely that I couldn't possibly vote against such a proposal if it came to Parliament, because I don't think Parliament should tell religious believers that they're not allowed to conduct same-sex marriages. The argument for religious freedom is just as important to me as the argument for LGBT equality. So how could I vote against a proposal like that unless I thought that it was the Parliament's business to tell religions what they may or may not do?
I still don't understand what your moral grounding principle is for pushing for marriage specifically, given that civil partnerships have already been established.
Well, it doesn't give the same legal rights. A same-sex couple who are religious are not currently allowed to marry in a way that is part of their church life. A mixed-sex couple who are religious are allowed to do so.
I think it's up to Peter Williams to respond to that one.
Yeah. Again, look, if you are a liberal Christian, and you want to have a ceremony which includes the affirming of the relationship between a man and a man, go for it. What's to stop you? No one's going to stop you from doing it. The police aren't going to burst in. There is absolutely nothing stopping. If you're going to define religious marriage as simply the sacrament, if you believe it is a sacrament, or the wedding ceremony and all the trappings that come with it, there is absolutely nothing stopping two men or two women from getting married in that sense in a very liberal religious setting right now. It's not civil
marriage,
precisely. And I think what's relevant about that chap's question is that all of the legal rights that accrue to marriage are already available to same-sex couples through the civil partnership scheme. And for the simple, there is simply nothing on a practical level that would accrue to a same-sex couple or a same-sex attracted person by same-sex marriage. Not one. They've all been dealt with in civil partnerships. Actually, we didn't even need civil partnerships to make that the case. All we need to do was redefine certain contractual obligations, if there were, in fact, any that weren't already available. And I think most of them were, if not all of them were. So really, we do not need same-sex weddings.
Reduce our relationships to the status of paperwork. Sorry? Reduce our relationships to the status of paperwork, then.
Well, I think for a lot of people, that's exactly what marriage is.
For many people, it's something much more meaningful than that.
The only people for whom this would really have any effect are the kind of people who want to redefine marriage in order to engage in social engineering, in order to change the culture. That is the only reason people really want this. There is not a single practical effect that would accrue, positive effect that would accrue to same-sex couples or same-sex attracted people.
Patrick, let me help you out with your dilemma as well.
This isn't about not having a husband yet, is it?
Well, it is, yeah. Can I suggest you do something really radical? Tell the Scottish Parliament the next time you're in, you're going to vote against this until someone agrees to marry you. And then you would have a personal interest. No. Can I debated Lynn Featherstone's now sadly demised on the sacrificed altar of the coalition government. Her advisor, I debated him on this whole subject, and I asked him, why do you want this? And he said, actually, to be honest, he didn't particularly want it. He put it forward. He was not going to get married. He had a civil partnership with his partner. He didn't see any particular need. The only thing it was a political statement affirming homosexuality. That was all it was. You are being consistent. It's the other parties, I think, who have just jumped on this bandwagon. I think the Tories are saying, oh, look, we're really nice. We're not the nasty Tories because we're for gay marriage. And the fact that the gay rights movement, Thatcher's correct, the gay rights movement falling for that is outrageous. It's just a piece of political chicanery.
Peter has changed his position as well.
Yes, of course he has. Yeah. And I explained, he has changed his position. But the bottom line is that this is a political thing. It's been driven entirely by politics. It is, as Peter says, my main concern with it is social engineering. Now, fair enough. I was in Greenwich Village, and gay rights activists there said to me, we choose to be homosexual. How dare you say that it's innate and so on? And they were arguing, and I actually liked their company and discussing and arguing out of principle. But to me, what's going on here right now is incredibly unprincipled. It is being driven by almost a mob mentality. You try. Well, look, let me tell you this.
I'm getting a bit carried away there, so I'm going
to
stop that one.
I'll come back to that.
Next, over here.
To pick up on a point there, Peter, marriage should be something more than civil partnership. It's more official. There are children who have grown up imagining their perfect wedding, their parents imagining their child's wedding, and then to be told that they cannot be married, they have to go for a civil partnership. How do you think they would feel for that?
Well, what's the practical difference? Let's say again, you've got your man, you want to get married as they see it. They go along to Unitarian universities, they get dressed up, they go through the whole shebang. There is literally no difference. The civil partnership is simply, that really is just a piece of paper. You are arguing just over a word. If you want all these trappings that come with it, there is absolutely nothing which is being denied to you right now. The problem with redefining marriage, the institution of marriage, is that marriage is there precisely to prescribe the relational ideal in order to form a family. And I don't accept that it is the relational ideal for a man and a man or a woman to bring up children. Not because I think that same-sex parents are bad, I am not going to argue that. I think you can have wonderful parents who are same-sex attracted, but the point is that if you have a man, you lack something, which is a woman, you lack a mum, and the femininity that comes with being
a
mum.
So female members of that family don't count, do they?
Sorry, say that again?
Female members of that family don't count then?
Don't count for what?
As mother figures.
Sorry, if you've got two men, where's the mother?
The same love as a mother doesn't mean that two men are incapable of showing motherly love.
Sorry, two men are not ever going to be a mum in the sense that they are never going to have the femininity of a woman in the way that a woman is, if you like. The way that a man brings up a child, the way that a woman brings up a child
are fundamentally different things. If same-sex marriage was legalized for a friend, would it be up to the minister of that church, the elder sort of community or the congregation about whether same-sex marriage was allowed there?
Say that again? I didn't hear it.
As I understand it, from what the Scottish Government is proposing, and they need their own legislation and a change to the equalities legislation at Westminster, the Westminster Government seems to agree that that can happen. What they're proposing is that both the minister and the religious body, which if it was a very hierarchical church, it might be the Catholic Church, if it was a more decentralized structure, it might be the local congregation. It would be for the church to decide how it makes that decision as the religious body, but the individual celebrant would also be able to decide. So in effect, the religious bodies would be able to forbid their ministers, but they would not be able to compel their ministers.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to exercise chairman's privilege. We've got, I think, three questioners, two there and one there, and then when we've had these three, each of our speakers will do, if they choose, a very brief summary, and then we'll conclude. So, question there.
Thank you. Yes, I believe it's Mr. Harvey at the end, is that?
Hello.
Thank you, yes. I was interested at the beginning when you said something that these proposed legislation will be forcing nobody to do anything. I'm going to be forced to have to buy a new dictionary. We are being forced to accept a new definition for a word which is well established. If there is something missing from civil partnership, well, please just invent a new word.
I recommend subscribing to an online dictionary, and then when meanings change, it'll happen without any additional expense. Words do change. The meanings of words do change. And the meaning of cultural institutions change as well. marriage has changed its meaning dramatically over the centuries, over the generations, and over recent decades. Of course it has. Marriage in some societies has been between children, for example. In some societies, in our society, not so very long ago, marriage meant the loss of sexual liberty by the woman, because there was no such thing as marital rape in law. A man could not be prosecuted for raping his wife. That's a change in the meaning of marriage. To me, that's a change in what marriage actually is for the participants, for the people who take part. A woman losing her sexual rights in law. Now, that change, we didn't get that change, I'm sorry to say, from the churches. We had to wait until democracy before we were able to get that change. So I see this as another progressive change.
Is that
inclusive,
rather,
but it won't change the actual meaning.
Is that not a rather confusing way of saying, yes, I am being forced to do something?
You can buy a dictionary if you want, or not if you don't want.
So will you retract that statement that we're not being forced to do
anything? No, I won't retract. I don't think you are being forced to do anything.